God praising and worshiping, the whole atmosphere will change. The whole atmosphere will change. Believe I shared this with you on Sunday. You take some, you know, somebody at, you know, 7'2", 420 pounds, a rock solid mass, muscle, and he comes and he winds up and unloads one on the side of your jaw, and you get up and look at them and start laughing. First thing you're going to do is look at his fist. See if it was still there. And they're going to start laughing. And if you start walking toward them laughing, they're going to start backing up. And they'll have an instant attitude adjustment because of your praise. See, when you're singing and praising, you're saying, I don't care what's going on. See, I believe in my own funny way that when the three boys were in the furnace and they said they were moving around, they were doing that MC Hammer dance going, can't touch this to the flames. Okay. That's what they were doing. They didn't care one bit that they were in the midst of a furnace. And one of the reasons they didn't care is because the three of them were in unity. There was no dissension among them. I'm just going to go right into it, Dad. There was no dissension at all. And we're going to find out that that's the place that we are supposed to be as a body. In absolute unity, no matter what. No matter what. Doesn't matter what anyone says or doesn't say, does or doesn't do. Doesn't matter whether you get invited or not. We are to be in absolute unity. Let's go to John 3. And I'm just going to read verse 16 this evening. In John 3. I'm still going to read verse John 13. Let's read John 3:16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Now go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. I have 1 Corinthians 1, but I don't think it's 1 Corinthians 1. I think it's 1 Corinthians 12. Let me just make sure. Yep. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians, what did I say? 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read verse 12. I'm going to skim down to 25. I'm not reading all the way through. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 18. Let's read this one together. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him, not us. That means we don't have the right to look at anybody and wonder what they're doing in here. Why are they part of this? None of our business. All we have to understand is that God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Verse 20. But now are there many members, yet but one body. Verse 25. That there should be no schism. They say, what's a schism? No division, no dissension, no contention, no quarrels, no discord, no differences in sentiment or opinion, no disregard in the body, none, but that the members should have the same care one for another. See, we read the verse and quote the verse often with, you know, say, well, Jesus is coming back from a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, what do you think a body that's not in unity is? It's spots and wrinkles and every such thing. And since we are all made in the image and likeness of God, and while, yes, we have differences, we're still supposed to be in unity. Is anyone here that's an auto mechanic? Know something about cars? No? Okay. Does the mechanism that changes this motion to this motion, it's called the differential, right? That makes it so that, because if not, the wheels would turn the wrong way. Okay. They're two very different parts. They have two very different personalities. Very different. But when they work together in unity, they just flow. They would be of no value to anyone by themselves. But when they join together in unity, they have a functional purpose. And they're a benefit. But they have to allow themselves to be used. And one can't think it's more important than the other. How many of you have a heart? Okay. What would happen if one of your valves decided it's worked long enough? Okay. It needs to work in unity. What if the right side said, why can't I do what the left side does? Why do I always have to do this? I'm going to change. What's going to happen to the body? Desperately in need in God's grace. That's what's going to happen. But God said, he likened us to the way the body functions. Each part of our body is different. Each part is unique. Each part. Break your pinky toe. As little as it is, as insignificant as it may seem, and then try and move around on it. You're still going to need that crutch to get around. It's still going to hurt when you put pressure on it. And you're saying, but this is the pinky toe. I mean, come on, it's not my whole foot. No, but it's part of your body. And when a part is not working properly, the body can't flow the way it was designed to. That's why it amazes me how they so freely just take parts out. Say, ah, you don't need this. Wait a minute. God put this in me. You mean I don't need it? Well, you can get by without it. Suppose I want to do more than get by. I'm telling you, if I knew the things a few years ago that I know now, I'd still have a gallbladder. There's no way that I'd let them take it out. I'd still have a gallbladder, and I'd still have a prostate gland. And if it was, and if I were old enough and strong enough, I'd still have my tonsils. But these four guys sitting on my legs when I'm seven. That's what they did. That was beyond olden days as far as I'm concerned. Like on TV, they have these four orderlies, these big, bruising-looking guys. I'm seven. And one comes and they're lying to you. Everything's all right. And I'm looking, everything's all right. Why are you sitting on my legs if everything is all right? And then they're holding my arms down to my side. And they're putting this little strainer over my face because they didn't just give you a little butterfly injection and say count backwards from 100. No, they dropped ether. Felt like someone was just choking you to death. And they ripped out my tonsils. And then they find out years later, they say, well, you know something? As you age and things, you need your tonsils to fight off infections and things. I'm like, thanks a lot. Okay. But they decided you don't need it. Well, it's one thing when they do that with those body parts. It's another thing when we as the body of Christ start deciding that the person sitting next to us has no value to the kingdom. And we don't need them. We can cut them off. Why? Because we don't like what they did. We don't like the way they talk. They're not as polished as I'm used to be. We don't have the same interests. Oh, I thought Jesus Christ was your Lord. If that answer is yes, then you do have the same interest. That's why Philippians tells us to let the same mind be in us that was also in who? Christ Jesus. Because when we have the same mind, we'll be in unity. And that's really the place that we need to be. Because first of all, and I'll show you in a little bit, there's power just in unity. Not in being united. Being in unity, because you can be united with someone who's not in unity with you at all. At all. I mean, come on. You all know the account of the Israeli army before they went out to meet the Philistines and Goliath. They in the locker rooms and they're hooting and mashing their spears together and pounding on the walls and they're ready to go out to battle and they are a united front. We are the nation of Israel. Deal with that. And Goliath steps over a mountain, I guess, and they go, and they were still in unity getting out of there. Okay. All right. But see, but they were not connected. They were no longer in unity with their covenant. Even the king wasn't in unity with his covenant. So God sent David, who was in unity with his covenant. And what happened to Goliath? He's dead. Right? As Pastor Ed said, he's toast. Not because David was so strong, because he dared to unite himself. He dared to be in unity with what God said. He stayed in unity with what God provided, and he prevailed. He prevailed just because he stayed in unity. Look at Psalm 133. Well, this is really the foundation scripture. It reads, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mounts of Zion, for there, at that place of unity, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. This verse lets us know why there's so much unrest in this world. It lets us know there's no unity. It lets us know why Christian marriages are divorcing at a rate that's higher than 30%. It's more than atheists. Why? There's no unity. Even though they're united, there's no unity. None. I know I always wind up meddling, but I don't understand. I really don't. I do not understand why a husband and wife must have time away from each other. They have to go on separate vacations because I just need a break. I thought the Bible said the two shall become one. Now, I understand I'm going to Tulsa to the men's conference. Deacon Phyllis isn't going because it's not a men's and women's conference. Likewise, if it were a women's conference, I wouldn't go. She would go. But she would be going like I'm going to a conference, not a vacation. I didn't need time away from Deacon Phyllis, so I looked for a conference to go to. Okay. No, I don't do that. No, I am very uncomfortable when I am away from home. And I'd rather, when we're thinking about where we're going to go and what we're going to, I'm thinking, let's bring them in. Because I want to sleep home in my bed next to my wife. No, that's not implying I sleep next to someone else's wife when I'm away. Okay. No. I don't like hotel rooms when I'm in them by myself without my wife. I don't sleep well. So that's a negative confession. That be the truth. Okay. Because part of me is missing. It's home. And I am in unity with her, and I just flat out want to be with her. We're in unity one with another, and we should flat out want to be with one another. Why? Doing the things that God called this portion of the body to do. You think about it. If I swing my arm, the wrist and the hand goes. What are they doing? Nothing right now. They're just hanging out. But when they're called, they go and they do. My arm doesn't get upset and say, why can't I grab anything? After all, a hand couldn't get there without me. What difference does it make? You are part of the body, and you're very valuable. Very valuable. The person that picks up trash in the restroom is just as valuable as the folks that run the sound. Just as valuable. You have to see yourself that way, and you have to start seeing each other as being valuable, because things that we place value on, we treasure. But where there's no unity, there's division and there's strife. Our children walk around with this being disrespectful. And newsflash, they don't learn that from other children. They learn that from what they see in mommy and daddy's home, in aunt and uncle's home, in some grandparents' homes, and they're imitating it. They hear the disrespect when we get upset and we start talking about each other. They hear it, and they act on it. The first person they act on it with is you. And then they move on. If it's not controlled there, it just moves on. What's the answer? We need to be in unity. We need to be of the same mind. We have to have the same set of standards. See, God doesn't have a set of standards for folks who say they're Baptists, and another set of standards for folks who say they're Methodists, and another set of standards for those who say they're born again. He has one set of standards that he expects everyone to come together in unity and adhere to. And it's no different when there's standards set in a church by the leadership. I shared with you, how many of you here Sunday? Remember what I shared about having to lock the door? And that senior seasoned citizen came, and she was an arm's distance from getting to the door, but my watch said 9 o'clock. I had to lock the door and walk away. Those were my instructions. I had to be in unity with the leadership. I had to be in unity with the pastors. I had to be in unity with God's heart for me. And it was not my place to choose rebellion. You know, someone actually came out to the lobby and said they wanted to share something with me and then proceeded to try and tell me that the Spirit told them to tell me that I should have let the woman come in. And I did. I had to repent because I was kind of loud. I said, no, he didn't. He didn't tell you that. Spirit of God, yeah, the Spirit of God is going to come to me and say, I want you to be in rebellion to the pastors I gave you after my own heart. No, they would know. It'd be different if we're giving in. You know how sometimes you're given instructions with options? It's like, you know, unless you think thus and so, this is the way you act. You know, you can use some discretion. This is a guideline. It wasn't presented to us as a guideline. It was at 9 o'clock, you lock the door. The hosts and hostesses went and checked the restrooms. And when everybody was in, then you unlock the door and you let people sit out in the lobby. But if they were late, they weren't permitted to come into the sanctuary for church school. See, if I, as a deacon or elder, don't follow that, what is that doing to my brother or sister, deacon or elder, who does enforce it? And I say, well, Deacon Carr let me in. He said, well, hey, my instructions are, oh, you guys don't get the same instructions? And now you have strife coming in because I chose to give way to emotion? No, no, no. Just like Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. When it comes to your instructions and things that God has told you, you cannot make provisions for the flesh. You cannot make provisions for emotion. You have to stay in unity with what God says, with what God does. Because when we're in unity with God, guess what we'll be? In unity one with another. Because when we're in unity with God, we'll start seeing everybody the same way he sees them. I mean, did you ever stop to think about Noah and his family during that time? I mean, think about the instructions that God gave Noah. That was pretty rough when you think about it. And God tells him, I'm going to destroy all the people, every living thing, except you and your family and these animals that I tell you. That's it. You build this ark to my specifications, and when I tell you, you load everybody in, and I shut the door. And that's what he did. He was in unity with those instructions. Followed them to the letter. 500 years old. Okay? Followed them to the letter. Did you ever stop to think what happened once it started raining? And when the flood waters started to rise? You think the people are out there saying, oh, well, that's it. We're just going to drown. I guess this is water. We've never seen this before, but it's going to kill us. No, they see this thing. And they saw Noah building it. And I'm sure there had to be people banging on this ark, trying to get in, begging and pleading, holding their children up. At least take my child. Noah's instructions were he, his wife, his family, and those animals are the only things permitted in that ark. He didn't open the door. He didn't have to climb on top of the giraffe to look out the window because there was only a window on the top. And the reason I think it was in the top because God didn't want Noah to look and see all the dead people floating around. So he had the window in the top. But he said, nobody goes in. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Mrs. Noah said, come on, God didn't mean that. Do you hear all these people out there? We got to save as many as we can. And his sons didn't say, yeah, come on, Dad, why being so hard? After all, God didn't mean that. If Noah chose to break that unity with God, his entire family would have been wiped out. His entire family. Because he chose emotion over staying in unity. We have to understand that that's what unity is. We have to stick true to who we are as a people, to whose we are as individuals, and to who we serve. Who's our King? Who is Jesus truly our Lord? Because if that answer is yes, he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he stayed in unity. Just like we have to stay in unity. Do you realize that creation was the result of unity? Look at John 5. Please. John or 1 John? Three that bear record in heaven? That's 1 John 5, isn't it? Yeah. 1 John 5, verse 7 and 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. These three have the same mind. These three have the same heart. These three have the same purpose. These three say the same thing all the time. The same thing. I was speaking with someone this afternoon. They asked me a question. You know, often when there's a new convert and you're ministering to them and they've never read the Bible, and some folks say, well, you know, you start in John, read the Gospel of John first. And someone will say, no, we want to start out reading a psalm and a proverb every day. Someone else say, no, just you start from Genesis and you read straight through to Revelation. Some say, no, well, we're a New Testament church, so you should read the New Testament first and, you know, just get an understanding of what we have, and then you could go back and read the Old Testament. There's no unity there. You have someone that's, and they say, okay, I've never read the Bible. Where do I start? You pray, and God will tell you where to start. Simple. Want to give them a little more help? Well, no, if you like, we have a daily Bible reading guide. You can pick it up, and everybody, you know, you could start to write today and just follow through. But everybody has their own opinion as to what they should say or what the individual should do, when who's the one that really knows what this individual needs? God. So why not ask him? And find, but we have to get like that. You know, we'll start talking about politics and we'll start saying, well, this, you know, this candidate's a Christian and this one's not a Christian. Okay. Was Saul of Tarsus a Christian? And God must have made a big mistake. Did you know that he wrote most of the New Testament? God worked through someone that was not a Christian? You know, we don't know what God is going to do. And if we're going to look at things, we need to look at more than just an individual and start looking at who they represent and what that representation stands for. If we're going to look at people, that's what we need to do. But I can show you a better way. Ask the Holy Ghost, and he'll tell you what levers to pull, and you pull them. Done. And you pull them without passion or emotion. You pull them out of duty. Duty to who? Your Father. Because those were his instructions. And so he called you to pull a certain lever. And we learned early on tonight that he always provides everything you need before he calls you. So whomever he puts in office will have what is needed, not for you and I as individuals, but so that the scriptures will be fulfilled. That's why. Now, whether we like it or not, there's some things that are going to happen because the scriptures say so. We, the church, are positioned strategically, and we're commissioned with praying out God's will here on the earth. And in order to pray out God's will here on the earth, we have to be praying the same things. That means we have to be of one mind and of one purpose. That's what we have to be if we're going to accomplish what God wants. Now, if we want to accomplish something else, you know, then it doesn't matter. But if we're going to accomplish what God wants, we have to do it God's way, and we have to do it according to His instructions. We know the account of the Tower of Babel. I shared it on Sunday. But what's interesting about that is that the Bible says they all had one language. They all had a common language. They all had one mind. One. Now, yeah, the mind was to do something God didn't tell them to do, but they had one mind, and God said. Now, you have to think about how important unity is. Even though they were not, even though they were doing something without God's approval, had they stayed in unity, they would have accomplished it. They would have accomplished it. So God said, no, we got to go down and confound their language. He didn't go down and wipe them out. He just simply made it so that they couldn't communicate. Well, the minute you start saying something different, unity starts to crumble. And the longer it lasts, unity goes away. And once you're no longer unified, you have no desire to work things out. None. None. That's why the devil wants husbands and wives to stop speaking to each other. He wants that bond of unity to weaken. Because if you can get them to stop talking, then he can weaken the bond of unity and they'll separate. Or they'll divorce. Or they'll do some other stupid stuff. Why? Because they're no longer communicating. That's why no matter what happens, no matter how uncomfortable it is, you have to be able to talk it out. You have to. Especially if you're in a relationship. You look at somebody and say, oh, I love you, but I can't talk to you about this. There's something wrong with that. If you love them and they love you, there isn't anything you can't talk about. You could talk about anything at any time. Even if you know you're wrong. You can talk about it and you can talk it out and you can protect the unity. The Holy Ghost said unity is not a physical connection. It's not just a physical connection. It is a mindset, an attitude, a corporate thought, or goal. That's what unity is. It's not just being united. It's much more than that. Much more. Now, remember I said unity is a source of power? And I started talking earlier about three Hebrew boys. Now, think about this. They were slaves. They were separated from their family, separated from their culture, but didn't allow themselves to be separated from their God. See, yeah, you could take me away from my family, you could take me away from my surroundings, but you can't take me away from my God. You can't take me away from what I believe. And they stayed in unity. And they chose, even though they were ordered, they said, we don't eat that. We don't eat that. Now, and I keep saying they because they had to be united. When they approached it, it's, no, just let us eat vegetables and water. And after 10 days, you be the judge. They didn't get together and say, come on, man, you know what they're going to do to us if we don't eat this? We got to eat it. No, we got to say what God... No, we got to eat. Besides, this looks pretty good. We've never eaten anything like this before. There was no dissension. They were in absolute agreement. And their overseer said, okay. And they were found to be better, healthier, to the place where they were put in great positions. Placed over provinces. But now the command comes. When I play my music, you bow down. You don't bow down, you really toast. They stayed unified. They didn't get together and say, now you know, we've seen people falling in the furnace. That's not fun. Come on now, let's be real about this. God doesn't expect us to put up with this. I mean, how can we worship him if we did? That's stupid. But what about this one? God knows my heart. Okay? He knows my heart. He know I'm just going through the motions just so I can get through this. But they know. Yeah, they do know. They know that you don't believe that your God can do what he said he would do. Because Nebuchadnezzar, he said, who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? He didn't care. And neither did they. They said, you know something? This is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer, King. Our God will deliver us. But you know something, King? Even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down. Those three young men. One didn't say, King, that's them talking. Me, okay, I'm not going in the fight. No, not the kid. No. No, they stayed unified. They stayed with one mind, one heart, one purpose, one God. They stayed true to the one true God. And the one true God showed me something this afternoon that wasn't in the notes from Sunday. Wasn't in them. He said, it's good and pleasant when you dwell together in unity. Right? At Psalm 133, you read that? He said, because there at that place of unity, what does God command? And what's the blessing? Life. Life. And didn't he say, where two or three are gathered together in my name? What did he say he would do? He'd be there where? In the midst of them. Did it matter to God where you might find yourself? All that was required for two or three to be gathered together in his name. So that means that those two or three had to be in unity. Well, you have three that are in absolute unity. And they find themselves at the mouth of a furnace heated seven times hotter than it was ever heated. So hot, it immediately disintegrated the guards. I mean, if I were Nebuchadnezzar, that would have changed my mind. Well, you think about it, because I send my guards to throw the first one in. He throws them in, but he's disintegrated immediately. He's burnt right up. And so just the fact that I see the three men moving about in the furnace and I see ashes where the guards used to be would tell me something. But you are Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. I like, you know, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, because the other ones were their slave names. But you see this happening. You see the guard go poof. But forget them, and I know I shared this with you before. You're the second set of guards. And you saw what you think about the unity they were in. No matter what, the king said, throw them in. And they go to throw them in, and they burn up instantly. And you the next set of guards. You looking? So you throw them in. Now you the third one. You saw your buddies just up in smoke. But the king said, throw them in. You throw them in. And you're gone. But the king looks into the furnace. I thought it was amazing that he got near the furnace and he didn't go poof. Okay? God was doing, the pastor said, God was up to something with this. The king looks and said, didn't we throw in 3? And I'm sure they said, yep. But if you think it's 4, that's fine with us. We're not going to argue with you, king. But he said, I see 4 men moving around. 4th one looks like the Son of God. Some say the 4th one looks like a God. What was Jesus doing in it? He said, if 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I'll be there in the midst of them. He wasn't outside saying, you doing all right in there, boys? Okay. You know I'm right here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, he was in the furnace with them. Folks, there is any circumstance that you can ever be in that you think God won't find you. He'll find you wherever you are, whatever you are going through. If you would just stay in agreement with him and what he said and each other, deliverance is right there. He will come right there in the midst of right where you are. And you will come out of it with no evidence of ever having gone through it. And that's a pretty strong statement. You want to see it? Daniel 3. Verse 27. This is after the king called them out of the furnace. It says, and the satraps and the deputies, the governors and the king's counselors gathered around together and saw these men. That the fire, I'm in the Amplified Bible, that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed. We're talking about a fire that disintegrated the guards, didn't singe their hair. Neither were their garments scorched. How many of you have ever gone, you know, into a store or an area, something, people smoking cigarettes? And you have to walk through and you come out, what's in your clothes? These boys were in the furnace. We don't know how long. It says they were walking around in there. And it says, neither were their garments scorched or changed in color or condition, nor had even the smell of smoke clung on them. There was no evidence at all that they were ever in the furnace. Why? They were in unity with God and one with another, and God came in and did just what he said he would do, keep them. Why? They stayed in unity. It didn't matter what the king said. There wasn't anything that the king could have said that would have broken that bond of unity that they had with God and each other, because they recognized that they were covenant children. Well, guess what? So are we. And God will do the same thing for us. He will meet us wherever we are, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, and take us through, and we'll tell quote-unquote the testimony, and folks will look at us like we're lying because there won't be any proof that we went through anything. It's no different than when I was in the hospital and they told me that I had a pulmonary embolism. And the next day, the doctor went back and looked at the same film. Didn't take a different picture. The same film. Reverend Carr, I apologize. There's nothing on your lungs. 3 doctors. That's an embolism. He's got to stay here or he's going to die. Ha, 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 ha. Father, what do you want me to do? Say this. Okay, done. Every waking moment, say this. Okay, I did. And they had no evidence. Didn't even know. We don't, he said, I don't know why you're here. I'm like, then that means I can go home. Okay. Because I don't know why I'm here either. I knew that if I did what God said, I'd have what God said. And I stayed with that, not with what anybody else said. And I'm not God's special person. Or if I am his special person, I'm just as special as all of you. And all you have to do is what I did, stay in unity with what he said. Pastor Ed and I do whatever is necessary to protect the unity we have one with another. Sometimes we fall all over ourselves trying to esteem the other higher than ourselves. What? Because we know if we don't do that, we're in flesh just like you and every other human walking around. And, the flesh acts like flesh. But I have to act like I'm a child of God, and that takes care of the flesh. But Sunday morning, I don't think I told you this. I was leaning over, tying my shoes, and the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, I'm going to kick over a very sacred saying. And when he said it to me, I had to catch myself because I almost fell over. I was like, you want me to say that? And he didn't say anything. I'm like, okay, I'm just testing. All right, I'll say it. One of the most damaging things that we say proudly. You ready for this? You know what I do. Take a deep breath. Turn your name and say, it won't be that bad. You can handle it. Okay. But one of the things that we pride ourselves in saying, well, we just agreed to disagree. We agree that we're not going to be in unity. That's all. And you actually think you can move on. We totally forget Amos 3. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? But we're going to agree that we're not in agreement. And you wonder why you can't move on. You can't walk together. In order for you to be in agreement, someone's going to have to enter into submission. Someone is going to have to humble themselves. Someone is going to have to yield to the prompting of the Holy Ghost. There shouldn't be anything more important than our agreement, one with another, with God. How many of you would say to God, well, we're going to agree to disagree on this one, God? Yet we do it all the time. You just think, I'm going to look over here, but you just think, how many times has God told you to do something and you didn't do it? Right? Did you put your hands back down? Because I don't want to see. Okay. Well, what you said was, God, we just have to agree to disagree because I'm not doing that. No. That's nothing I heard someone say. I'll take my chances. Are you serious? You'll take your chances. But we say we will agree to disagree and say it proudly. We're not in unity when we do that. That there is there's always a common point of reference. What did God say? He said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. And I thought it interesting. Let me show you. Would you go to Hebrews? I'm not Hebrews. To 1 Corinthians 12. I thought this was very interesting. Because God spent a chapter talking about how the body is supposed to be one. But he ends that chapter by saying, and yet I show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way to do what? A more excellent way to stay in unity. Love. Love. Love, the godly, the God kind of love. The 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love will keep us in unity. Unity is a choice that we make. Well, I'm not going to have enough time. It's going to be 2 weeks before I can finish this. You've heard us say a threefold cord is not easily broken? It is a threefold cord. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. But in order for them to be... how many of you know that this can handle more and do more and is much stronger than this by itself? This can't even begin to do what this will do. So if these three individuals allow themselves to be twisted together in unity, they can accomplish so much more. You have at least three times the strength, at least three times the endurance, three times the staying power, at least just being together and not getting bent out of shape because there are differences. Who cares if one is yellow and one is black? What difference does it make? They're in unity. They have the same purpose, called by the same person. What would happen if the yellow one said, "Why have to be the only one yellow? Why can't there be two of me and one of you?" That's not right. That's discrimination. You need to think about that. It goes around attitude. I can't accomplish as much as these black ones can because they're more of them. That's not fair. I might as well just leave them. Well, first of all, as you start to unravel, when you look at it, your whole countenance changes. As it unravels, I hope you didn't need this. Okay. It just goes to pieces right in front of your face. And they're walking around, "We're the body of Christ." You're a raggedy looking bunch. But that's the way we look when we go around because we're not in unity. I love something that political person said. That you, we're a Christian nation. Yes. Okay. Whose Christianity are we going to follow? And those same folks like, let's see. Said, whose? Well, who's we going to follow? The Baptists, the Methodists, Charismatics? Whose? So even if I agreed that we're a Christian nation, what does that mean when the Christians are not as one? They're not one. It shouldn't matter. I said this to someone Sunday. I said, look, we have different last names. Yes. Which one of us is not human? They looked at me. I said, which one of us is not human? He said, well, we're all human, but we have different names. Does it matter, really? Because someone says, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist. We're in the body of Christ. Period. Yeah, but they don't believe in this, and they don't believe. What do they believe? And even more importantly, what do you believe? Do you believe that God said, love one another? Yes, I believe that. And stop talking about them. And start looking for what you do agree on. Start looking. You both believe. Even if you say, well, I believe, we all believe in God. That's a very good starting place. Because if you can agree on that, God will speak to whomever he needs to speak to. Has anyone ever thought that their opinion might actually be wrong? If you never thought that, I'm going to give you that newsflash. It is possible that your opinion is wrong. Okay. I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Another translation says, agree with each other and not to split into opposing groups. Still another says, you should not be divided into different groups. Be completely joined together again with the same kind of thinking and the same purpose. It's good and pleasant when we dwell together in unity. And that place of unity is the place where we are demonstrating our praise and worship to God. Unity does that. Unity of the body demonstrates praise and worship to God. We're living in harmony. We're living at peace. We're living as one, having the same mind and the same purpose. One of the reasons that thermometer for the 4R project now become maybe like a 10R project, when you think about it. Everybody is not in unity with it. Everybody's not in agreement that this is what needs to be done. Everybody's not at the place where I'm going to do what God tells me to do concerning this. Everybody's not at that place. We're willing to wait until you get to that place. And we keep praying for you and confessing. The maintenance department, they're speaking to the roof. They're speaking to the carpet. They're speaking to everything that that project is going to entail so that it just stays there until the people make up their mind to be in unity with God's program and do what he said. Now, some have. Some have done miraculous things. I mean, supernatural things. And they're quote-unquote regular people. And by that I mean they're not celebrities or athletes. You know, they weren't there and their ship just came in because of whatever. No, God told them to do something. They believed it was provided and they did it. Well, that's what he wants all of us to do to get his work done. Folks, how many of you know where Grandview Avenue is? Out there on Route 59? How many of you know where Middletown Road is? Well, that's the area. That's ours. From Grandview Avenue to Middletown Road is ours. When are we going to see it? When the people become of the same mind, the same heart, the same purpose. Why? Because there's structures that are going to be built. You know, I thought when you have God's favor, you don't need money. You don't. But you're not going to get God's favor until we get to the point where we're good and pleasant because we're dwelling together in unity. So you need to think about that. And I'm going to end with this. You know what it really takes to be in unity? You know what it really takes? A choice. That's all it is. It's a choice. That no matter what happens, no matter what comes, I'm staying in unity with my brother, my sister in Christ. I'm staying in unity, even better. As Dr. Connie, would you say, scratch that? Even better. I'm staying in unity with God's plan for my life. And if I do that, then I wind up in unity with my brother or sister in Christ. Because being in unity, unity of the body, is part of God's plan.